I feel like I should have a sign on that says 25% owned by Cox. Okay. I want to point out somebody in the audience. My daughter is sitting over there. Her name is Amy. She won three. Now, there's a reason I'm saying this. She won three awards today at her school. One of them was for citizenship. Okay, and I think that, you know, we've applauded a lot of people here tonight, the commissioners, ourselves, but all of you folks out there are citizens. Okay, you don't have any reason to be here except for the fact that you believe in democracy, you believe in the democratic process, you believe in this nation, you're patriots. Okay. And you know something? Cox doesn't want you to be here. Okay? So let's give an applause to the citizens here tonight. Yeah. I'm supposed to speak from the standpoint of a local journalist. And I have to make a confession also. I have been a serial employee of Cox during my career, okay? My first job out of college was with a Cox newspaper in Florida, the Palm Beach Post. That was in the early 70s, long time ago. In 1972, Cox ordered all of its newspapers to endorse Richard Nixon. Now, this is a company that was founded by a great Democratic governor of Ohio, James Cox, okay? Why would they order all their papers to endorse Nixon? Well, several years after that, Ben Bagdikian, who you heard one of the speakers mention, obtained documents by a Freedom of Information request. By the way, John Ashcroft has just about put an end to Freedom of Information request. And those documents showed that the newspaper publishers in America had traded their endorsements in the 72 election in exchange for Nixon dropping his opposition to antitrust rules affecting the newspaper industry. That's a parallel that's happening today. Okay, the editor of my paper quit. The editor of the Miami News was fired because he opposed that policy. How many of you know that the Cox? I was interested in the story about the NAACP suit here, but how many of you know that Cox was stripped of its TV license in Miami for corrupt behavior? Okay, you guys probably heard about this, where they had ex parte conversations with an FCC commissioner, illegal conversations, and they were stripped of their license. So we're not talking about good citizens, and I don't want to pick on Cox, but they're just too damn easy, okay? And they are the media here in Atlanta, and I'm supposed to talk as a local journalist. I used to work for the Constitution. Remember the days when there used to be the Constitution and then the Journal, okay? And they used to be owned by different owners, then they were owned by the same owners, but they had different floors in the building. And when I worked there, we were vigorously competitive. Boy, we raised hell. The worst thing that could happen if you worked for the Constitution was to get beat by the Journal. So we had lots of reporters. We were out there just working our butts off to uncover the news. We had investigative reporters. That's an almost dead breed in American journalism today, okay? Well, the problem is investigative journalism, two newspapers. I mean, Mrs. Cox was only worth a couple of billion dollars back in those days. That wasn't enough. So they had to stop this, okay? They combined the newspapers, kept it sort of an illusion alive of two newspapers for a while, and then they even ended that. So what do we have? Let's take a where's our photographer, Jim? Take a vote of this, okay? Because I want to ask this. How many people think the Atlanta Journal-Constitution is a great newspaper? Somebody there. Okay, let's say, how about, is it a medium okay paper?
No.
Oh, okay. A few people think that, okay. It used to be a great newspaper. It used to have Ralph McGill there. It used to have great people working for it, okay? That's the result of media consolidation. I moved here, back here, after spending several years in Tampa. And part of that time, I worked for the Tampa Tribune. Now, Tampa Tribune is owned by a company that is even more backwards than Cox, called Media General, based in Richmond. They have pioneered, and if you can call 1,000 miles an hour in reverse pioneering, but they've, for a journalist, this is important, they've pioneered something called convergence, okay? Convergence means that you no longer, I mean, hell, we no longer have two newspapers in these cities, like here in Tampa and other cities. They're going to combine the news staffs of the newspaper and the TV station and their website, okay? Now, what does that mean for journalists? Well, first of all, when I, 1990, when I went to work for the Tribune, there were more than 400 journalists in the newsroom. There are probably about 200 today, 220 maybe. And it's being converged with the TV station, and probably there'll still only be 200 people when they get done fusing them together. Now, when I went to work, now, I know, I mean, I'm a great-looking guy, right? Okay? But when I went to work for a newspaper, it didn't matter what you look like, okay? It mattered that you could get in there and find the corrupt bastards who were ruining society, okay? The awards I hang on my wall, when I get around to nailing them up, are not because I'm a good-looking guy. They're because I found some corrupt bastards out there, okay? Well, now, when you're going to hire people who are going to be on TV as well as write your news stories, what are you going to have? You're going to have the blow-dry hair and the perky young women, okay? Looking good will make a whole lot more difference than what's inside here, okay? And that's what's happening in Tampa already. It's horrible what's happened to... I mean, when I was at the Trib, we were in a big circulation war with the paper across the bay, the St. Pete Times, which is an excellent newspaper, the only newspaper in America that's owned by a nonprofit institution. It makes tons of money, but that's another story. And we beat them because we were an aggressive newspaper. We had lots of reporters. We went out there. And the company still made tons of money. They just didn't make enough money. The commissioners can tell you. You know, how many of you think, what do you all think the profits are at a TV station today? Do you think they're more than 30%? Yeah. How about more than 50%? Yeah, okay. That's not profit, that's piracy, okay? I mean, why isn't this money being reinvested back into the community? You know, I write, like I said, Cox is too easy sometimes. Okay, must be Cox. Okay. Yep, Cox. Yep.
Don't mess up a broadcast.
But we do have to live with Cox. I have to live with Cox. I mean, I live. You know, I would. Oh, by the way, I should say something to, since Jabari brought it up. Yes, we are owned 25% by Cox. We're going to get that goddamn stock back, okay? What we found out, and I mean, look, I work for a company where I can write things that are critical of the company, okay? And I do. And when we did this deal, I wrote a column saying, God, we're in bed with Cox, okay? But we found out that the reason Cox owns that stock is so that they could betray us and undermine us, okay? They are engaged in predatory pricing of their ads. They offer this one buy where you can buy the TV station, the newspaper, their website, their radio stations, and all those prices. You know, if you're an independent, not that there are such things anymore, but the other TV stations can't compete with that. The other radio stations can't compete with that. They're underselling our prices, and we don't make that much money, okay? So we know that what they're doing is probably losing them money, but it's you know, this is what you call predatory pricing. They're trying to damage us. Anyway, journalism has suffered tremendously due to media consolidation, Bagdikian, who I mentioned. He wrote a book called The Media Monopoly. When he started, when his first edition came out, there were 75 companies that owned about half the media in America. By the time he got to his fourth edition, there were 20 companies. And now there are about a dozen. And after 12 days from now, they're going to probably be two or three, I bet. And you're the ones that are going to suffer. Our democracy, which is on the ropes anyway, is going to really suffer. Final example. The company, you all know, you've heard of Florida, right? Okay, the banana republic to the south, okay? The Jeb Bush, you've heard of Jeb Bush, okay? He hired a company to purge Florida's voting rolls. And those of you who are at the Palace, Great Palace, they have heard this story too. But he hired this company to purge Florida's voting rolls of people who were supposed to be criminals, convicts. In Florida, you don't get your civil rights back. Now, as Palace found out when he looked into it, some people were purged from the rolls, even though their conviction date was like 2007. Okay? Well, of the 90-some thousand people who were purged, only 3% were legitimate. And the result was a BBC analysis of that showed that Gore would have had 22,000 more votes in Florida. Now, Bush only won by a few hundred votes, so what does that mean? Gore would have won the presidency. Now, the company that did that purge Jeb Bush is a company based here in Atlanta, Choice Point. Go online and try to find an article about Choice Point in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that even hints of that. You won't find it, okay? And that is what's happened to local reporting, okay? The old motto, and I'll close with this, those of you who are journalists or no journalists have heard this, but you know, when I went into newspapers, idealistic person that I was, I'd heard the phrase that we're here to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Well, that's not what journalism is all about right now, and the biggest villain is consolidation. Thank you.